If you've got a Bible with you, turn it to John chapter 10. This is not part of the discerning the time seasons, but if you want to stretch it that far, you're welcome to. And but I do want to speak into some things this morning. And title of the message today, for there are so many voices. So many seemingly convincing voices. And so many voices with agendas, some of them with no agenda except to try and help one way or another. But, you know, for the follower of Christ, we have some incredible promises. Well, we have the most incredible promises. They're called great and precious promises. And I just want to take one portion of Scripture today where Jesus speaks about the fact that he's our shepherd. He's our great shepherd. And I want to just look at four promises he makes in one statement that he makes when he's teaching his disciples, but also sharing the word with the people around him, the people that have gathered. And it's just, it's four absolutely profound promises. Because as a sheep, I need to be able to make decisions, number one, for my own life, because I'm responsible for this temple called the temple of God, the temple of the Holy Spirit. And there's some choices that I know I can make regarding that temple. There's some choices I need to make that will potentially affect our family. These are choices we make. These are choices. I've got choices to make as a leader. And I've got choices to make in relation to my convictions and theology that I understand, things that have shaped my life and no doubt things that have shaped you, had your life shaped by the things you understand and have come to believe. So in this day, like any day, we've got choices to make. But some of us have got very significant choices to make ahead of us, if you haven't made them already, because some of these choices some people will make in this room will affect your careers, will affect your jobs, your incomes, and so on. Is that my sheep hear my voice? And I want to look at John chapter 10, verse 25. Four promises Jesus gives his sheep. Now, some people might think, well, hang on, to be called a sheep's a bit derogatory. I mean, you know, and we could name a few reasons why. I mean, I grew up close to sheep farms for a while, and I saw some really dumb things some sheep did. You know, just really dumb things, you know. But on the other hand, there were some really beautiful qualities of sheep. And once sheep identify a leader, or they just follow that. They just follow that. So Jesus is our leader. You see, Jesus is our king and our high priest. And one of the beautiful things about sheep, once they know the voice of their shepherd, they don't listen to any other shepherd. And that's the beautiful thing. See, once we that we listen to in that sense, in that supreme sense. And so it's an incredibly comforting thing to know that one of his promises is that we know his voice and that he speaks to us and that he guides us and he leads us as a very good shepherd leads the sheep. Now, let's get the New Zealand context of shepherding, because for a while there, we lived on a farm down in Tiania, on a farm that was mainly predominantly a sheep farm, and Dad's role on that farm was as a shepherd. Now, the reason we were there is because we'd left Canterbury, we lived out near Rolleston, and my father was very concerned about the nature of the roads in our region. Anybody who's driven out in the Canterbury Plains will know you've got a lot of cross intersections, right? And about the number of families who are losing sons and daughters, and sometimes fathers and mothers, at the accidents that were happening at these intersections. My older brothers had gotten into motorbikes. They had Triumphs and BSAs, and one had a Jawa. He was always the odd one out. NZ or whatever it was. And Dad was really concerned about the fact that these young guys were becoming what he thought pretty vulnerable. And so Dad made the decision to head down to Tiania and to put in his name to try and win a ballot for a lands and survey block that the New Zealand government was developing all these farms down that way, and they would develop a farm, create a title for it, and then put it on a ballot, and people would put their names into the ballot, and then if your name came out, you were the one that had the right to years, and these ballots would keep coming up, and he kept missing out on them. I think he became a bit discouraged. But in the meantime, we were on this beautiful green farm that looked down over Lake Tiania in the distance, and Fiordland in the distance. And my brother was a top dressing pilot. My brother-in-law was a top dressing pilot. So they would sometimes fly in and land in the paddock down below the house. And it was just a great time to be a child in that place. And sometimes I'd go out, excuse me as I spit, and I never normally do that, you know. And it would just be wonderful to go out with Dad sometimes and be going around the ewes in lambing season. You learn a lot, you know, when you're walking with your dad shepherding ewes in lambing season. My first initiation into the realities of lamb birth, which also applies to childbirth in some respects. And Dad having to, you know, the lamb's little legs, put his foot on the backside of the ewe and then pull that lamb out. And watching that as a boy, it was kind of a thing of wonder. It really was. But it was very natural. It was very normal. Very natural. And going around and finding sheep that were cast. You know what a cast, you know, anybody know what a cast sheep is? Wave your hand at me if you know what a cast sheep is. A cast sheep is one who for some reason gets onto their side and they've been there too long and all their guts and all their innards go to one side and the sheep hasn't got the strength to get back up again because their guts have all gone to one side. You know, and they end up just lying there, and if they can't get up or nobody can get them up, the thing will just eventually die. And so always keeping an eye out for cast sheep. Always looking out for sheep that were stuck in fences. Always looking out for sheep that were hanging out properly. Always looking. And so there were some simple things I learned as a boy that about shepherding. Now, I do not attend your child delivery sessions. So there are limits to this. But there's great differences between the way we shepherd sheep in New Zealand and the way they shepherded sheep in the days that Jesus was speaking. We have thousands of sheep on a farm, and every so often we herd a bunch of them into a truck and send them off to the freezing works. We tend to, the sheep, the ewes have the lambs, they're in the paddocks for a while, and eventually we separate them off. And I remember my uncle tailing lambs with the hot iron. Very, very different method of shepherding. Now it's shepherding usually en masse. There's very little engagement with the sheep apart from herding them or doing something to keep them alive long enough to where they're still worth something at the market. Very, very different relationship. So I don't want you to have the idea that this is how we shepherd today in terms of the family of God. Okay? So it's a great relief, isn't it? Although some may still try and do that. And, you know, but the relationship between the shepherd and the sheep in those days was actually a very close relationship. Herds were often, you know, not very big. Jesus makes reference to 99 or 100, and he leaves the 99 going looking for the one that is lost. He leaves the 99 in a safe place, and he goes after the one that is lost. A beautiful story. We know that the sheep knew the shepherd's voice, that there were sheep be at that door, and nobody can come or go in and out of that sheepfold unless the person who was on the door recognized they were a legitimate shepherd and would let them in. And Jesus makes reference that he says, I am the door of the sheepfold. Anybody who comes up over the back door, over the back fence, is a thief and a robber. And so, so Jesus makes a lot of connections between shepherding in his day, in his earthly walk day, pre-resurrection day, and the reality of himself being the great shepherd. And so the shepherd, the role of the shepherd was to protect the sheep, to nurture the sheep, to lead the sheep into protection at night, lead the sheep to where there was good food, lead the sheep to where there was good clean water, keep an eye out for wolves, keep an eye out for various predators that would try and be several little herds together, little flocks together. And all you'd have to do is call out and speak, and the sheep that recognized him as their shepherd would separate themselves off and follow him wherever he needed to go. A beautiful picture. It's a beautiful picture. And so when we pick this up in chapter 10, verse 25, and if you read chapter 10, the prior verses to 25, you'll get more of a context for it all. But verse 25, he says this, New King James Version, Jesus answered them, I told you and you do not believe. He's speaking to people who weren't believing yet, but also amongst that group there were believers. There were followers, there were believers. Jesus answered them, I told you and you do not believe. So read the context of that, but the works that I do in my... Wow. Some of us can get really upset because somebody we're trying to share with is not believing. But you just have to share the word anyway, because you don't know who's going to believe and who's not. But actually, God already knows. Verse 27, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow. Or they follow me, he says. Verse 28, and I give them eternal life, and they shall not perish. Neither shall anyone, snatch them out of my hand. Verse 29, my Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. Short teaching that Jesus said this is the case. Number one, my sheep hear my voice. My sheep hear my voice. I want to tell you, my friends, if you are one of God's sheep, and to be one of his sheep is a beautiful thing. You know, sheep are made reference to over 500 times in the scriptures. Goats, on the other hand, I love goats. I love kid goats. I think they're just hilarious. We had some goats on the orchard in central Otago. The kid goat was just while he was growing up, was just hilarious. But this thing, the billy goat was a bit of another matter. He butted my dad into the water race one day. Dad thought he had put the stake in the ground with the chain on and thought he had gotten far enough away, but he hadn't. And he must have had his back turned to the goats. They're amazing. But, you know, they always want to be on top of things. We had a boat. My brother had a boat, and it was up like this, so the water would drain out of it. And then at the top of it, the bow of it sort of went into an apricot tree. And here's this kid goat up on the bow of the boat eating apricots out of the apricot tree. You know, they're just hilarious. They always want to be up on top of things. They always want to be higher than you. They're just hilarious. But man, you can't herd them really like you can sheep to some degree. There's this rebellious streak in goats. You know, there's this tendency just to want to always do their own thing. And so God likens the nations that reject him and reject his people as sheep, as goat nations, and the nations that receive him just asking the question. But my sheep hear my voice. There's something in the little lamb that as it's growing gets attuned to the voice of that shepherd. And once that tuning has taken place, then for the rest of that little lamb, that sheep's life, it knows that shepherd's voice. Sheep apparently have a very good memory for faces. So be nice to sheep. Have very good memory for faces. Sheep are incredible. They're just so many amazing qualities. But my sheep hear my voice. I want to say this to you. It's your covenantal right and your covenantal privilege to hear the voice of God, to hear the voice of your great shepherd. This has profound significance. One of the beautiful things I've found about my shepherd, because he's my shepherd, he's your shepherd, he's our great shepherd. I'm a very limited shepherd. He's an unlimited shepherd. He's with you at 2:30 a.m. in the morning. I'm at home in my bed. You hear what I'm saying? He is never out of touch with you. We sometimes get to the point where our hearts wander, or our hearts get distracted, or our mind gets whatever, and we're the ones that can wander, but he never lets us go. This is the beautiful thing about our shepherd. He never lets us go. We may wander for years, but there's something about his heart and something about his voice that draws us back. I went through a little patch quite some time ago where my heart was just a bit discouraged, and I'd gone in to buy something, and I bought the thing and put it in the car, and then went to another shop, got to the other shop to get the thing. I couldn't find my wallet anywhere, so I went back to, I think it was Mitre 10, retraced everywhere I'd been, because I'd looked at different products, and I was thinking maybe I'd just put my wallet up, not really thinking, and then just went left. We couldn't find it anywhere. Went to the counter. Is anybody handing a wallet? No. So on, and then I was walking back to the shop, and I felt the Holy Spirit say to me, "You've left it in the boot." And this is what he said to me: "I'm just reaching out to you." And I knew immediately the fact that in my own heart, through whatever was happening in my own heart, my fellowship had dropped. "I'm just reaching out to you." This is our shepherd. Our hearts can, I've found our hearts can sometimes wander all over the place. You might think you've got an incredibly steadfast heart. Maybe it's not as steadfast as you like to make out. I don't know. Maybe you have your moments. Maybe I've had my moments. I have had some moments. But we've got a great shepherd. And that great shepherd reaches out to us. And that great shepherd, he tries to draw us back. If we totally refuse, well, I mean, that's on our own head. But he reaches out to us and draws us back. This is the beautiful thing. We've got a great shepherd. We've got a great shepherd. We might get caught up in this idea or that idea or something else like that, but one way or another, he will reach out to us to endeavor to draw us home, to draw us back. His voice comes through his word. His voice just comes into our spirit. His voice can come through people that are speaking something, and our spirit just knows that this is God speaking to us. You just know it. They don't come up to you and say, "I am speaking to you on behalf of God. You better listen." Now, I mean, you know, some people will try that. But the thing is, somebody might come up with you quite innocently and just share something, but in your spirit, you know that that was actually the voice of the Lord. How many have ever had that experience? You just know that. And they have not got a clue. Haven't got a clue. It just was. And so this is the goodness, this is the kindness of God. And the thing is, you know his voice. Because your spirit person, your spirit inside of you, the real you who has Christ in. It's a beautiful thing. Absolutely beautiful. This is the advantage we have. It's a phenomenal advantage. And so then promise number two. And let's face it, in these days right now, we need to know the voice of our shepherd. Some of you are wondering why I haven't mentioned vax, no vax yet. But let's just go to that context, shall we? Let's just go to that context. I've got good friends who have prayed, really earnestly prayed, and they felt the Lord say to them, it was okay for them to have the vaccine. I have good friends who have prayed or they've had dreams and they believe God has spoken to them and said, you must not have that vaccine. Who's right? Probably both. Have you ever thought of this? That for some people, well, for everybody actually, God knows what your body's good with and what it's not good with. We know his voice, which we do, and we earnestly pray, and then we come to the conclusion that God has spoken to us, and that is different to this person is different to that person. Isn't that possibly a sign that God has actually just spoken individually because he knows us and he knows our future and he knows what our body's going to be okay with and what it's not? Have you ever thought about that? I think it's very relevant. That's one of the reasons, that's one of the undergirding reasons I'm keen to protect the your body, your choice position. It's not about the theology of a vaccine. Somebody said I've got an anti-vaccine theology. I don't. I've probably had more vaccines than probably quite a few of you. I've had yellow fever. I've had all these things to be able to go into Africa. I've still got my yellow fever vaccine certificate. Hep C and various things that you need to be able to go into those places. To hear the voice of the Lord ourselves and actually be able to make a choice before the Lord ourselves. So I think we just need to make sure we're cutting each other slack, and we need to respect the fact that each one of us can potentially hear the Lord. Now, somebody say, but what happens if they've heard wrong? Well, if we've heard wrong, we've heard wrong. You'll find out about that sooner or later. But we're still better to keep the position that each believer, each genuine follower of Christ, hears the voice of God. And we've got to allow people to be able to do that. Okay? So is that all right? You're all right with that? Just be free both ways. I just love it when people go to God over it. When people actually go to God over it. If you've gone to God over it, genuinely gone to God over it, and you have a conviction that you're to do this or you're to do that, and in relation to this, that's okay with me. Hear what I'm saying? Right? I know them. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them. That is more profound than a quick reading of that passage would ever illuminate. It's to be known by God himself is absolutely profound. Because so many people are growing up believing nobody really knows them. Nobody sees them. To know somebody is to see them. To know somebody is to see. The word knowing in the scripture is more than just know about somebody. The word knowing is a sense that you know them. You have an intimate engagement with them. The Father knows us better. My Father knows me better than I know myself. Way better than I know myself. And so he does you. Or it could be the other way around. I know what formed you and I know your frame. Could be the other way around. Be gracious to me if I've got the order mixed. That tells me that God actually knows what fashions me, what has fashioned me, my life journey, my experience, my family culture, my macro, the big culture that I've grown up in, the micro culture I grew up in, the experiences I had, the good, the negative, the bad, the ugly, all those experiences have helped shape me. They've helped form me. They've created a frame within me that I see the world through. They create a framework within me that I respond to life through. He knows what formed me. And the beautiful thing is that God speaks our language. God speaks my language to me. He speaks your language to you. He'll use anybody ever notice that when you've been talking to people? He does that. He knows us. He knows us. He knows all the hair on our heads. And people might, you know, cast the usual jokes about that. For some of us. It says we're worth more than many sparrows. Knows the hair on our head. He formed us in the womb. He knows all these things about us. You are no. I want to say to you, if you feel like you're a nobody, if you feel like nobody actually sees you or really acknowledges, I want to say, my friend, The promise of the Lord is that He knows you. He knows who you are. He knows where you live. He knows your tastes. He knows your passions, your appetite. He knows the things you struggle with. He knows your strengths, your weaknesses. He knows the things that have hurt you, the things that have strengthened you, the things you delight over, the things that grieve you, the things that cause you to mourn, the things that cause you to summon to Christ. When people receive Him as their Father, there is no such thing as a nobody in the family of God, because you hear His voice and He knows you. He knows the unique sound of your voice. He knows those subtleties of tones in your voice. He knows you. For some, you might think that's a scary thing. For some, it's an incredibly comforting thing. But actually, it's comforting. It's an amazing thing to be known. In John chapter 10, verse 3, just earlier on in that passage, it says, verse 3, it says, to him the doorkeeper opens. In other words, the true shepherd, the one who's keeping the door to the sheep, when he recognizes the true shepherd, he opens the door to him, this good shepherd. We can draw from that he knows your name. He knows your name. He knows your name. He knows where you live. He knows your name. And for us, the name might not be such a big deal. But you see, our name is often connected to our nature, our character. He knows your name. He calls you by name. There's a beautiful... If you read through John chapter 1, 10, 1 to 18, I'll quickly read through it. Verse 1 says this, John chapter 10, verse 1, then we'll, another passage, and then we'll close. John chapter 10, verse 1. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who does not, to him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. Verse 4. And when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Yet they will by no means follow a stranger, but will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. There's a lot of strangers speaking. There's a lot of strangers trying to get the attention of the family of God, the body of Christ. There's a lot of strangers. There's strange doctrine. There's unbiblical doctrine. There's strange things being said. There's voices that are trying to act as shepherds, trying to get a hold of the hearts of the sheep of God. But here's the deal. Jesus leads us, and we know his voice, and we will not follow the voice of a stranger. But we will flee from him, for they do not know the voice. That was at times. It still is. Verse 7. Jesus said to them again, most assuredly I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who ever came from before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. Verse 9, I am the door. If anyone enters by me or through faith in me or through what I've done for them, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. Verse 10, the thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life, and they have life more abundantly. Verse 11, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. But a hireling, in other words, somebody's just hired to look after the sheep. He who is not the shepherd, one who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming, leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf captures the sheep and scatters about the sheep. Verse 14, I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and am known by my own, or by my own sheep. As the Father knows me, even so I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. He's really laboring it, isn't he? And other sheep I have, Australian sheep, New Zealand sheep, American sheep, Chinese sheep, African sheep, South American sheep, Maori sheep, Cook Island sheep, Fijian sheep, other sheep I have. My additions, but I think it's in the scope of what's okay in the scripture. And they're not of this fold, this particular one here. Them also I must bring, and they will hear my voice. And there will be one flock. Father loves me because I lay down my life that I might take it again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it up again. This command I receive from my Father. Wow. So Jesus, the great shepherd, is laying down his life to be the Lamb of God, the sacrifice to actually clear the dominion of sin and the power of sin out of their lives and to clear all of their reputation as sinners out of the picture, so these sheep can enjoy the pasture of the Father, can enjoy the house of the Father, the sheepfold of the Father, and enjoy him forever and be enjoyed by God forever. This is Jesus, our shepherd. Jesus is the door. We go through faith in him, but he's also the one who's opened the door for us. I give them, number three, I give them eternal life and they shall not perish. John 3:14. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so the Son of Man will be lifted up, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. It's totally the will and in the power of the Father for a sheep never to perish but to know eternal life. Our bodies will die one day or they'll be transposed in the twinkling of an eye, but we will never die. A believer can never die. A believer, a genuine believer who's in Christ, can never be separated from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. They can never be snatched out of his hand, because Jesus' hand is so powerful to hold every genuine believer. I want to tell you, my friend, being can never know. And promise number four, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. Keep trusting the Lord. Keep trusting the Lord. Keep walking with the Lord. Nobody has the power to snatch you out of his hand. You might try to walk out of his hand. You might try to escape his care. You might try and get away from him because you want to live your own life of whatever. But I want to tell you, my friend, the good shepherd's going to come after you. The hound of heaven is going to come after you. I tried to run to Australia. That's not very far. But in my world, it seemed quite a long time at the time. I thought I'll go over there and I'll be able to go to a nice church somewhere and maybe meet a nice girl and get married, hopefully to a wealthy man who's got a yacht. Such are the stupid dreams of a 20-year-old. That's before I met Janet. Doing or whatever, but I wanted the security of being part of the kingdom of God, the family of God, of having eternal life. And I thought I could have a foot in both camps, and going to Aussie with my brother-in-law to do some contract roofing and so on seemed like an opportunity to get out of the little bit of pressure that was at home, and not in my family, but just in the environment I was in. And maybe I could just get out there and kind of do my own thing. Do my own thing, mama. Within 6 weeks, I'd run slap bang into the hound of heaven. The shepherd of heaven, who gently shepherded me back into the flock, into a little Pentecostal charismatic flock in Campbelltown, New South Wales, where I got confronted again, repented of my loss. But I want to tell you, I thought I was getting out into my own world where I could determine my own future. Unbeknown to me, God was also in Australia. Some of you may wonder about that, but I can tell you now, God is also in Australia. I could have gone to Patagonia, the same thing could have happened. Could have gone to Mongolia, the same thing could have happened. Could have gone to Iran, the same thing could have happened. You hear what I'm saying? Verse, finishing on this. Just a couple of days ago, a little sparrow, Janet was out on the deck, had the door open. Suddenly I saw a little sparrow fly into the lounge. And suddenly it obviously started to panic and flew up against the window, then dropped down to the windowsill. Well, Janet's little dog, Poppet, also knew that I had to get to that sparrow before Poppet could get to it, because I didn't know what Poppet was going. She was just in a frenzy. I didn't know what she would do to this little sparrow. And so I rushed into the corner, grabbed the dog, really aggressively, actually. I hope she'll forgive me, and shoved her out of the way. Janet didn't see me. If she had of, I could have been, you know, in trouble. But grabbed the dog and out of the way, and then tried to get my hands in there and get the little thing, and eventually caught it and got into my hands, and no way was I going to let that little sparrow out of my hands until I could get it into freedom where it was out of touch from the dog. So I had this little sparrow in my hand. The little sparrow didn't want to be in my hands, but I knew that I had to get it out of the lounge so the thing could get into freedom before the dog could get it. And so holding this little sparrow and struggling in my hands a little bit, I love birds. I just love little animals and little birds. And beautiful little wing feathers just took off. Probably a little heart pounding out of his chest half. But here's the deal. I had to get to the sparrow before the dog. And just be thankful. Be thankful that Jesus has got to your life before the dog had its final will in your life. Because of the will of the dog in your life was your destruction. But the will of the shepherd of heaven is your life, is your abundant life. Some of us were dragged and beaten by the dogs and by the demonic powers and by the powers of sin and so on for years before we opened the door to the one who could really reach into us and save us and bring us into eternal life, so we could hear his voice, so we would never be plucked out of his hand again. How much more valuable are we? Jesus said this. How much more valuable are you than many sparrows? If that's what goes on in my heart concerning one little sparrow that comes into my lounge, how much more is the Heavenly Father so passionate about your eternal well-being that he'll come after you, that he'll pursue you, that he'll woo you and draw you home, cause you by his kindness and by his grace for your heart to open to him so that you'd receive his salvation work into your life. I want to tell you, we have a great shepherd, a wonderful shepherd. There's so many stories in this room of people who have been right into the very depths of, nearly into the depths of hell, but Jesus came in and rescued us. The Spirit of God has been moving on you and working on you and drawing you. Maybe you're here today, maybe you're online, but something's going on in your heart because the hound of heaven, the Holy Ghost, the love of God have been drawing you back into his family because he wants you home. He wants you safe in his care. That's who he is. And we've got these great promises that one, we are his sheep. We are his sheep. We hear his voice. He knows us. Nobody. He gives us eternal life. And nobody can snatch us from his hand. Let's all stand. Just as you continue to play there, Grant, I just want to read this one psalm as we... version. The Lord, the shepherd of his people is called. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me, even in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. That in this house or online, and you know that the Lord is calling you back into his sheepfold, into the safety of his place where he watches over you and walks with you and where you belong. I want to give you that opportunity. Maybe there's somebody here, you've never received Christ. Maybe somebody online, you've never received the Lord. You've never gone through that door into God's family, into God's place where he shepherds you, where he loves and nurtures you. Today is the time to go through the door. How do I go through the door? This is Jesus is the door, the scriptures say. So, well, what does that mean? Well, if you put your trust in the fact that he is the Son of God, that he died for you, you may not understand what all that means. I'm still learning the profound which have been trying to destroy your life. The dogs of sin, the dogs of habits that are destroying, the dogs of rebellion, the dogs of unbelief, the dogs of demonic torment, those dogs. And he's inviting you into the safety of his sheepfold. So if you would like to respond to that today, I'm going to invite you to come and stand with me up the front. I'm going to pray with you and reintroduce you back to the Lord, or introduce you to the Lord, if that's you. And then we're going to pray together and pray online. So if that's you, just come on up. If that's you, just come up. Anybody in this section, just come on up. Anybody in this section, just come on up. God bless you. Thank you so much. Anybody in this section, just come on up. Anybody in this section, come on up. Anybody in this section? A very profound moment right here. Stretch out your hands, would you? Father, we just want to thank you. How about you all pray with me? Just pray with me. And would you pray with me? Father, today, I stand before you. Lord, I open my heart to you, as you have opened your heart to me. Jesus, I believe that you are God's Son, that you died on a cross to purchase my forgiveness and make the way for me to come home to you. Lord, I turn away from all of my sin and ask you to forgive me. I receive you as my Lord and Savior. Lord, today, receive me as your child. In Jesus' name, fill me with your Spirit. Right now, I'm just gonna. Could you just pray? You guys just pray. Yeah, I'm just gonna close off the meeting. Father, we thank you today for your power and your grace. Right now, we thank you, Lord, for your goodness and your glory. Right now, Father, we just thank you for your shepherding hand. I just commit all these people into your care. I say thank you, Lord, for loving every person in this room and every person online. We thank you, Lord, we hear your voice. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you, everybody. Thank you so much for being here. We're going to continue to minister here for a bit longer.